This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cubs win. Gordon Whittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs win.
Chicago Cubs. Hey!
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Whittenmeyer.
Mulliott Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Gordon Whittenmeyer joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Gordon, of course, covering the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Hey, Gordon.
Good morning. Doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we are really, I guess Joe Madden's gone. I wasn't aware. They made a change. It just broke.
I read that he got fired.
There you go. What do you make of this? I thought we were going into – I was really looking forward to finding out all the Chris Bryan information and all of the luxury tax talk and all of this other stuff that was going on.
You're talking to the right guy.
And what happened? How did this all go so pear-shaped yesterday?
The stuff with Joe? Well, it's nothing new. I mean, some of us have reported that from the beginning. This is how it played out behind the scenes. Joe wanted to come back. They talked about Joe thought he was coming back all the way up until late in the season. It wasn't until the last couple of conversations with Theo, where Theo made it clear you're not coming back, that Joe said, well, okay, I guess maybe it is time to move on. They got together and put a good face on the whole thing. And Joe's really good that way. Look, if he hadn't won the World Series with this club, if he hadn't been to four consecutive playoffs with this club, he might have been gone a year earlier. Essentially the decision had basically been made, barring some amazing turnaround. It's kind of what you saw that finally came out yesterday. There was a you can call it philosophical differences or not, but one of the things that Joe said is true. They wanted him to change his methods. And they told us that. I mean, nobody's hiding the ball on this thing. Coming out of 2018, they talked about organizational kind of self-evaluation top to bottom, and that included Joe. They wanted Joe to do more things, be more hands-on, kind of... maybe not. I'll give the front office credit enough that they weren't asking him to change who he was, but they wanted him to do some of the other things that he had a track record of doing. You know, from his time in the minor leagues and player development, be more hands on, be more involved with the coaching and the messaging.
Batting practice, right? I mean, wasn't that a thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a little bit different. That does get into changing his methods. More work rather than less work, things like that. But just as far as being more attentive on a day-to-day basis and hands-on and working with the coaches as they work with the players. You know, that said, how many coaches did he have? How many hitting coaches did they go through?
A lot.
Under Theo, even before Joe got there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so this isn't, this is the management style of the front office.
So, Gordon, as we study this revisionist history and we revisit some of the things.
Not revisionist if you've been reading the Sun-Times.
Well, okay, I've been reading the Sun-Times. But I think that overall, when you look at the way that this came out, this week, I mean, talking about the philosophical differences, Joe now was railing against them or lamenting against it. Where does this go from here? What do you expect Joe to say next, and how interested are you or should we be?
Why would we? We can be as interested as we want to be. It's irrelevant. They've moved on. They've got a new manager in place. They've got the guy they've wanted for more than a year. I think there's players that are going to be asked about it. I think there's going to be some more attention given to it publicly for the next few days, and then it's just and then it'll be a non-issue altogether. And I can't imagine it's going to be any kind of a distraction. I mean, I don't intend to belabor the point all season long. I can't imagine. I mean, this was one interview that Madden did before the season started, before spring training started. And I can almost guarantee that given the blowback and the attention it got, he's not going to be banging that drum much more, if at all. So I think it'll go away pretty quick.
Kind of an old, tired question. Who do you think's the leadoff man? How many years have we been asking that? Since Dexter Fowler left, right?
Dexter left, yeah. They don't have a leadoff hitter. They didn't have a leadoff hitter last year or the year before, and they haven't added any. So they have what they have. One of the most interesting things I think David Ross said yesterday in his introductory spring training presser was that he's going to try to have a more stable, consistent lineup. He was asked specifically about whether he was going to move people around as much as Joe did, and that was one of the outcomes of the question was that answer. He was going to try to keep a set lineup. One place that I can't fathom that they've got somebody on the roster that can just drop in that leadoff spot and just stay there. Now that said, if you know, laugh if you want. If Kyle Schwarber turn a corner in the second half last season, if that's what we're going to see from him going forward in his career, believe it or not, he could do it. But I don't think there's anybody else that fits that mold that could just do it every day. He's going to have to mix and match up there. And as soon as you're mixing and matching in the leadoff spot, it's probably going to have at least a small ripple effect in other parts of your lineup. So I don't know how consistent that lineup is going to be. Maybe he's just talking about I'm going to try to have the same 2-3-4 hitters or 2-3-4-5 hitters, which would be significant. So we'll see. To answer your question, I mean the only name that he threw out there was Rizzo,
right?
And we know Rizzo is the guy who small sample sizes each of the last 3 years has put up good numbers, and you put them all together, and the sample size starts growing a little bit, and it's really good. I don't know. I mean, do you want to put Rizzo up there?
No.
All
year long?
Not long term, no.
Yeah, maybe I can't see that.
Spurts. So, Gordon, yesterday, you know, I think maybe Joe Madden unintentionally did the Cubs a favor. I mean, it detracted the focus from the off-season issues of inactivity and also this luxury tax issue. And you wonder, if you know, with Theo directing sort of his frustration or taking the high road in response to Joe's comments, he didn't have to really address too deeply how he feels about being limited in terms of being able to pursue players if he is frustrated at all at that threshold, at the kind of the adherence to the budget. Do you sense any of that? Do you think that that's something that is building?
I think he's got his mind wrapped around it. I mean, it's been a reality for at least 2 years now, and really a reality for 3 years, because the year that they made those bad free agent signings, Chatwood and Morrow and Darvish may yet turn out to be okay, that took them all the way to their budget limits. And so, and then you remember, Darvish didn't sign until, I mean, it was when they opened camp is when he signed. So that took a long time for the price to get right on the AAV as it relates to the luxury tax level and all that crap. They were dealing with budget constraints and not being as free as they might have liked to do stuff now for three off seasons, and the last two, dramatically so. It's a function of for big market teams that have the money to spend otherwise. It's a function of how artificially and arbitrarily low the luxury tax level is compared to revenues, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody wants to hear that crap. But ownership could come across with more if it wanted to. I think Theo understands that part of this is his spending himself into this corner, especially when he knew what the luxury tax levels were going to be. They're right there in the CBA for everybody to read. So I don't think that there's frustration for sure, but I don't think it's going to grow or manifest itself in any way that is it becomes an outburst or a thing. I think they'll keep that pretty well contained in house.
Is a Chris Bryant trade inevitable, or is it not going to happen? Is it going to happen before the season starts? Is it going to happen before he turns up? Is it going to happen if it happens at the trade deadline?
It's inevitable if they don't have tremendous success. And by inevitable, I mean maybe at the trade deadline, maybe next winter. The only way I don't see an extension coming. So the only way I see them not finding some deal that finally compels them to pull the trigger on a trade would be if David Ross is the magic man in this roster that hasn't changed much and has maybe taken a half step back. He comes out on fire this year, maybe wins the division, maybe wins a round or two of the playoffs, and all of a sudden maybe have some more financial flexibility next year depending on where contracts are or what else you do with the roster. And all of a sudden you're looking at next year as part of a legitimate chance to win, so you ride it out with him. It's the only way he stays. Short of that, if they don't get off to a good start, I'd be shocked if he's not moved at the deadline.
But doesn't he control some of that, Gordon, if he comes in and he's playing third base every day and he's got some stability there and he is the guy that we remember from the 2016 and 17 and he's doing things at the plate and he's playing well defensively, how would they trade him at that point? I mean, couldn't...
That's the best case scenario for them to trade him.
Right.
Because his value is as high as it's going to be. The only thing that he controls in the process in terms of not getting traded is if he's playing well enough to lead them to the promised land. If it's not resulting in team wins or team success, then it just means he's got that much higher trade value and you're that much more incentivized to make any trade.
This is about not being able to sign him as much as anything else,
Yeah, I mean, this is all assuming that there's no extension to be had.
Yeah.
And there's no indications, you know, in my reporting or anybody else that I've read to suggest that.
Yeah. Gordon, thanks a ton.
Thanks, Gordon.
Great catching up with you.
All right, guys.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.